This is the Wrestling With Your Calling podcast with Dr. Conrad, Season 2, The Matters of the Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Conrad Davies. For this season, we're going to do a deep dive into the matters of the heart. Proverbs 20 and 5 will be our lead scripture. It says, "The purposes of a person's heart are like deep waters, but a person of understanding can draw them out." I pray that we become a people of understanding who draw out the deep matters of the heart. I'm excited about what you will learn today. Thanks for tuning in. Good morning. Welcome back, friends. It's Dr. Conrad. You've tuned in to Wrestling With Your Calling with Dr. Conrad. Today, I want to talk to you quite seriously about Proverbs 4 and 23. It reads in a variety of translations. Let me kind of read it a couple of times because I want to read it in different contexts, different translations. And I'm going to animate this a bit so that hopefully it ingrains as you're thinking about what we're doing this season of deep dive into the heart. We're out of the English Standard Version. Here's what it reads. "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." The New International Version says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." The King James Version says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And the New American Standard Bible says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." So I want to bring emphasis here on a couple of things. Solomon is speaking with great wisdom, and he's saying that the heart, everything in life flows from the heart. That's important to know. This deep dive of going into the heart is, I'm kind of talking through some of the complexity throughout the podcast episodes, and I'm hoping I'm keeping you engaged in these 15-minute blasts to think about how deep your heart is and how much there is to explore. But listen to Solomon's words. Guard it. Keep it. Above all else, protect it. Do whatever possible to make sure that your heart is not wounded, hurt. We're not putting things in it that don't need to be there. Keep it, keep it, keep it, guard it, protect it. With all diligence, above all else, do it as much as you can. And I think what's bubbling up, because it's just me, I'm inspired to kind of speak to you guys this morning, because what's bubbling up inside of me is I think about how many times my heart in my past was not protected. And the things that came in and what it did to me and how it brought a lot of things I've had to now in my life now as a believer and having more insight and understanding of the Lord, I've had to walk with the Lord to unravel those things. So I believe my heart is a life-giving entity. It's like soil. And if that's the case, then if I let any seed plant in my soil, it's likely to grow because it's fertile. But yet if I oversaturate it with seed, if the seed's too crowded, if I overwater it, if I step all over it, if I don't give space for things, if I don't keep animals away from it, if I don't do the proper things to help my heart, or the soil of my heart, to have growth, then I'm going to have a messy garden. And a lot of my life, I had a messy garden. I welcomed dark things into my life, from things I was looking for comfort, things on the computer, things, just things I did, actions, ways I view people, meditations of my heart, hate, perversions, all kinds of things. I let it into my heart. And things had to get unraveled because of those things let into my heart. I didn't necessarily know how to guard it or protect it. I didn't necessarily know that I needed to guard it or protect it. I just know that there are things that entered into my heart from a young age, and some of it was generationally. I didn't know, but it entered in, it took root, and it became a monster. And the tree that grew from that seed became fruit that I ate. and I picked the fruit and I ate it and I just reinforced the process. Or the fruit would fall to the ground and that seed from that fruit would decompose. The fruit would decompose and the seed will grow to something new. So then I'd have a reproductive process of bad fruit falling to the ground and regrowing another tree that produces bad fruit and falls to the ground. It was reproductive. And then the Lord has had to help me over the years to unravel this, the areas of my heart that are yucky and they're just not good plants. So I've had to wrestle because my heart wasn't guarded and protected. So first of all, let me speak to moms and dads that it's important when you're protecting and guarding your children's heart from things. You want to keep them away. You want to train them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. You want to train them how to guard their own hearts early, giving them filters and parameters about how to guard their hearts. My wife and I, we have to wrestle with that. How do we train our children? Keep in mind, when I'm speaking, sorry, I'm ad-libbing a little bit here because when I'm speaking about these matters, I'm always wanting to exalt the truth of what God says, but then I, as human, have to go through the same wrestles. So we're on the same page in terms of, I don't have this together. I don't, but I want to always exalt the Father in what His word says, regardless of what the depth of my lifestyle may be. I'm always in progress and in process, and I'm still growing. So I don't want to speak in a way that says, oh, Candace and I have it together in our parenting, or we got it together in our own lives. No. I have to regularly guard in my heart, regularly guard in the heart of my wife, regularly guard in my wife, my children's heart. I've got to allow them to be fertilized and bring nutrients to my heart. It's a regular process. If I fade away, I will have things that happen. I've got old plants and trees that I have to deal with. So taking that back, when I think about children, when children are, their hearts are being protected, it's helping to create a barrier and a boundary and a fence around their garden. Because at such a tender age, that's where the adversary wants to play. And he wants to garden their heart in a way. If we don't garden it, someone else will. And he wants to be a gardener. I believe fathers are gardeners. That makes me think of John 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine. But he talks about my Father is a gardener. I'm the true vine and my Father is a gardener. One translation says, and he's talking about God, the Father is a gardener. I believe fathers are gardeners. And if a father is a gardener and he doesn't do a good job gardening, some other fathering voice is going to come and garden, whether it's the wife, whether it's her books and the things she reads and the internet that gardens her. And she may have her other things that garden her, or whether it's, or for the children, it's another father, a fathering voice of society, culture, school. Those schooling voices can be fathering voices to say, you're supposed to do this, and this is who you are. Good job when you make an A. Good job when you make some kind of a coach could be a father when you're doing some kind of sport. Good job, buddy. Good job, Jill, Sally, whoever. And that fathering voice is bringing encouragement, starts to become where their allegiance goes. They find themselves being drawn to that fathering voice. But fathers, it's time for us to rise up and to say, and love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and impress the word on our children, and to teach our children the ways of the Lord, and to testify about the Lord so that our generations will know the testimony of the Lord and open our hearts to the Lord as fathers. So children's hearts need to be guarded and protected. I think about our individual journeys of us learning how to garden and protect our hearts, or just particular protections today's focus, but there's gardening there as well. And when we guard it, we have to think about, what am I watching? What am I consuming? What am I ingesting into my heart? What am I taking in that it may not be pleasing to the Lord? How am I allowing the Lord to garden my heart? Am I allowing the Lord to search my heart, examine my heart, see my heart? Am I, though he knows it already, but am I saying, Lord, search my heart? Which is an intimate relationship there that says, Father, you know my heart, and I'm welcoming you. I'm willingly letting you search me and see if there's any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. I'm letting you guide my life. I'm letting you examine my heart. I'm letting you take your word and cut judge the intentions, the thoughts of my heart. I'm letting you do those things that you alone know how to do. I'm letting you do that, Lord. That's a journey. That can be a journey. And that's not always easy. But there's something there that the Father is wanting to challenge us with. Is speaking to parents a few moments ago, speaking to you individually, if you're not a parent, those in marriage relationships, what you get to see parts of humanity that others don't get to see. When we're married, we're one spirit. And the scripture says, who can know the thoughts of a man except that man's spirit? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And to think, when you become one spirit with somebody, you get to go deep in there to their heart chambers, that thought, especially the intellectual chambers that other people don't really get to see. And you get to really see how people function. And it can sometimes get real ugly. We may not like it because it's very different than us. It doesn't seem the same as us. We actually can pick up things about them, our spouses, that they sometimes don't see about themselves, or no one else on the planet sees. And you get to see, we get to see what goes on inside of the meditation of the heart of a person. That's an intuitive thing, and is very, sometimes very practical. We get to see those deeper things. That's challenging. The question becomes, how do you guard and protect their heart, our spouse's heart, or let them protect and guard our heart? Because they may be speaking in a way, spouse, that your spouse is trying to protect and guard your heart, but you won't allow that spouse to do so. So if I'm speaking around, hopefully you're attuned to the way I communicate. Sometimes I'm not extremely organized, but yet hear almost the prophetic edge of the way I communicate. I'm attempting to see us set free, friends, to where the more we learn about the heart and the deeper things of the heart and all these different facets, it's so deep and complex, the more we'll find ourselves in peace and saying, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards my heart and my mind. Your heart can be guarded because of the peace of God. And so allowing God's peace, his completeness, his wholeness, allowing ourselves to worship him with our whole heart can help with the guarding process. We're letting God put his parameters around our hearts. Say, we're allowing the Lord to say, this is what I think about you. And we're letting his thoughts, like David would say, how vast are the sum of your thoughts, Lord, in Psalm 139. We're letting his thoughts be our thoughts. We're praying the scripture. We're memorizing the scripture. We're thinking about the scripture. We're talking about the scripture. We've got the scripture on our lips. We're letting the scripture course through us. And that puts a guard around the department of our intellect. Think about our emotions. When there's comfort needed, we let him be a comforter. And he emotes alongside of us, or he teaches us how to feel, and he allows us to, he catches our tears, and he cries with us, and he just comforts us when life is hard and our emotional department is raging. When there's fear, he's like, don't be anxious, but in prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, offer your requests to the Lord. And our desires, he says, delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our hearts. But oftentimes, one of the Hebrew words for desire is what comes from the Father. And so the more we're intimate with him, our desires may start to shift. And we say, Lord, I want to do your will. I want to do what you have. My desire is to see you look good and to have your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our desire department starts to change. Even our passions and our appetites. Some of you may know, you know what it was like. Before you got saved, you had a desire for a thing or appetite for a thing. And then after you got saved, the more you got intimate with the Lord, you start realizing those appetites and those passions started to fade. And you may even have questioned, what's wrong with me? Why don't I like this anymore? I like that anymore. Well, the passion faded, the desire faded, and the appetite faded. And so you saw the departments starting to shift because God started to rearrange it. So the guarding can come by God's peace. The guarding can come by how you put the word in your heart. The guarding can come in how you eliminate those things that you've deposited. Psychology is not going to answer all of your questions. You have a relationship, for those of you that said yes to Jesus, you have a relationship with the King of the universe who can help give you insight. Every person under the sun that you reach out to when you have an emotional challenge in life, they're not your comforters holistically. God uses people to comfort you, but God wants to be your comforter. So my point in all this is there's ways that we can guard our hearts by God's word, intimacy with him, avoiding things that we don't need to be ingesting and putting inside of our hearts and watching and listening to and hearing, and really being vigilant to say, I need to guard my heart, because out of my heart come all the issues of life. I need to guard it, protect it above all else with vigilance and diligence, and to let the Lord do a work that he alone could do in my heart. Because you want your central administration, your central headquarters of your heart to be fully attentive and attuned and sensitive to the King of the universe's heart. That's where you find the full true purposes of your heart. And God can show you things that no one else can. Love you, friends. Hope you're well. Peace to you today. Wow, friend. I appreciate your support of this podcast. This season is powerful, and I hope it brings you loads of encouragement, insight, and hope. I hope you listen to these episodes repeatedly and share them with your friends. If you haven't ordered a copy of the book, you can do so at our website, wrestlingwithyourcalling.com. Also, I'd love to coach you, so reach out for a consultation through the website as well. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to email me. All the contact information is below or on the website. And be sure to subscribe so that you're notified of the next episodes. I'll be putting out a lot of content this season. Remember, I want you to become an ace. Go be activated, cultivated, and empowered today. Until next time, friends, shalom. Thank you.